you exhausted, depressed, hungover, still reeling from that thing your ex-friend said last night? Maybe you need a dose of bibliotherapy. For the past few years, Eliber Thu and Susan Elderkin have steered their clients through heartbreak, despair, and the common cold with personalized prescriptions for reading. Now they've gathered their best literary remedies together in a compendium called The Novel Cure, and Strange Chimps reached them.
Susan and Ella, how did you come up with the concept of bibliotherapy?
Well, we were very fortunate to be in adjacent bedrooms when we went to Downing College, Cambridge, together at the same time. And we both rapidly realized that we had a huge shared love of books. And whenever the other person was having a life problem or a love problem or a work problem, we would give each other a book that would sort them out. And we realized that it had genuine curative powers by seeing how the other one reacted to our cures.
Susan, do you remember one of the first books that Ella ever gave you?
Well, one which I feel has had a lasting effect was Virginia Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway as a kind of get up and go book in the morning, because it's a really rousing, you know, get up in the morning, buy flowers, get out on the street, smell the air. And it works on me still, actually. I still dip into it for
it
that.
It worked so well for Suze that she joined the rowing team and used to get up at six in the morning and go rowing. It was a bit extreme, actually. I almost wished I hadn't.
You can't decide whether Virginia Woolf would have been pleased or horrified.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's important to remember that there are many reasons to read a book, but it's impossible to ignore the fact that the rhythm of the book or the underlying messages that come through in a book can be really transformative. And, you know, we've all experienced that sense of having read the perfect novel at exactly the right moment in our lives, that it's mm-hmm. really changed our perspective.
Mm. Mm. Now, the two of you have now spent years as bibliotherapists. How does that work in practice?
We start off by sending a questionnaire by email to the prospective client, and the questionnaire asks about their reading life, what they read, why they read, where they read, how they read. And it also asks them questions about events in their life, like are there any problems going on at the moment, and where are they in their career? Are they about to move house or change job or retire? Or, you know, is there any big thing happening? And we then prescribe them, so to speak, a collection of books which are going to be the perfect books for them to read, we hope, at that point in their life. And then we do follow-up sessions later on as well.
Mm. So, Susan, for example, you've organized your book from A to Z. So let's start with A, and let's say somebody comes to see you with the classic modern complaint, anxiety. What do you prescribe?
Well, there's several ways of dealing with that one. I mean, one thing to do is to give them a book which is written in a style which slows the heart rate down. And one of my favourite books for that, actually, is Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway.
What about it slows the heart rate down?
There's a rhythm as we read that starts a sort of pendulum effect in our head. Some books rev you up, some are uppers and some are downers, and some still you and some put you into a contemplative state. So something else we use in the book is Henry James. Henry James writes in rather wonderfully laborious sentences. Some people love him, some people hate him.
There are many who feel that Henry James would be a wonderful cure for insomnia.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Now, what about, I don't know, more serious mental issues, depression, for instance?
Well, that is a really big one. We come at it from two different angles. There's the major one, which is for people that are really depressed. They should read very serious books that through which you can understand your own depression and see it reflected in other people and realise that you're not alone. So, for instance, we got The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath, who did become extremely depressed and unfortunately ended up committing suicide. So she is someone that really did know about depression.
Susan, what's the rationale for prescribing something very depressing to somebody who's already depressed?
It surprised us as well, to be honest. But what started to be fed back to us was that people who are very, very seriously depressed can't be knocked out of it, you know, that easily with a chivying sort of read, you know, to boost their spirits. It's something very much more serious than that. And what seems to work for people is a sense that you're not alone and that there's somebody else who can hold your hand in that dark place. We found that many people who suffered from serious depression had those books near them at all times as sort of Bibles of you know, to take down into that dark place and know that they were not going mad and that other people had been there before. And you know, as Ella said, some of these some of the authors that we've used are people who did not survive their illness of depression. But I think we both see it as their gift to those that have come after, that maybe their experience can make somebody else feel not so alone and therefore know that they can get help and things can get better.
Mm. Now, what about actual physical illness? Say, you know, the flu or the common cold. You're stuck at home with a stuffy nose and a cough and a headache. What are the best books for a common cold?
For the common cold, we admit that there is no novel that can cure your cold. So we provide the 10 best books to read on a duvet day, so to speak. basically cheering up books, which are just going to be great, light, and possibly quite addictive reads that you can sniff into your hanky while you're reading.
These sound like things to keep on your short shelf. What are they?
Absolutely. Well, we've got The Lost Art of Keeping Secrets by Eva Rice in there. We've got The Secret Life of Bees by Sue Monk-Kidd. We put a few children's books in the books. We really believe that adults can get a lot from returning to much-loved children's books. We've got Comet in Moominland by Tove Jansson in there. We've got The Devil Wears Prada by Lauren Weisenberger. So, you know, things which don't require too much effort.
What about books to help people deal with the really difficult things that happen in life? The death of a very close family member, for instance. There's one, I think you suggest, a novel by John Berger.
Yes, that's one of, I think, five novels we suggest for that ailment. It's probably one of the very much most serious things we have in the book. And it seemed to us that people go through many different stages of grief, and we needed to address those different stages of grief. And the John Berger you mention, Here Is Where We Meet, is kind of for the final stage of grief, which is getting towards acceptance. And that's a very meditative and beautiful book in which the narrator, who is kind of John Berger himself, starts to see people who have died, his mother, his best friend, and he kind of revisits them in the places that they had lived in together and loved together. So he goes around visiting these places and refinding these dead people and having conversations with them. And it's really charming because there are things about his mother, the way she puts on her lipstick, for instance, which still irritate him, even though she's dead, and he's so pleased to see her. So he learns to re-see her in a sort of wholehearted way. He remembers what was bad about her as well as what was wonderful about her, and puts her story to rest in a way.
And what is it you think reading that book would do for someone who's lost somebody and is maybe getting around to the stage of acceptance?
Well, I think it just gives you some ideas of what you can do. I mean, certainly when I lost my father a couple of years ago, somebody once said to me, you know, you can still go for walks with your dad. That's something which I used to do a lot with my dad, and that's something we shared together. And I do that. You know, I sometimes go off for a walk by myself and go somewhere where my dad would have loved as well, and think about him and think of things I would have pointed out to him and he would have pointed out to me. And that has really helped me. So that book, I guess it was probably inspired by that for me.
Mm. Well, it's a wonderful service that you've invented, and one that I can imagine really taking off in libraries.
Excellent.
Thank you both so much for talking. I'm going to go home and look at my bookshelves in a completely new light.
Thank you.
Ella Berthou and Susan Elderkin are the authors of the novel Cure, From Abandonment to Zestlessness, 751 books to cure what ails you.